Good morning. Today's reading will be from the book of Prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our Heavenly Father, blessed be art thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who gives us the word of truth. Thank you for your word and for your lessons. Thank you that you're always there to pick us up. Thank you that you do not grow weary, nor tired, nor ever slumber nor sleep. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to open the ear and the heart and turn to your will. We thank you that we have the blessing in the reading of the word and in the knowledge and wisdom it gives us. Please receive all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Bible is full of examples, full of parables. And these things are there, these parables and the metaphors are there to help us understand the message and ourselves. I believe God has a great sense of humor, and God has used all kinds of animals, all kinds of situations, all kinds of things to make us understand what the message is all about. The following actually are some examples found in the New Testament. Jesus often used parables to help people understand his messages. He compared the believers to sheep. In John 10 we read, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep." He compared us with salt. In Matthew 5:13 we read, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man." He compared us with light. He said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." He also said that we are branches. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Actually, James said, and he compared us with vapor. He said, "Life is vapor." James 4:14, we read, "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Paul compared the believers with soldiers. In Ephesians 6:11, we read, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme." In Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31, the true believer in God is compared with the greatest bird of the air, the eagle. My favorite animal, and everyone must have, or some, most of you have a favorite animal, it seems to be an eagle. I'm saying it seems because I've given that impression. So my father When I was celebrating my birthday, he gave me a big picture of an eagle, and he put that verse there. This morning, I was sort of going through my notes. When I I looked up, I saw the calendar, and on the calendar for this month was a big eagle. And eagle is a preferred bird for most nations. The eagle has been used as a sign of power, courage, and freedom, a symbol of courage and strength. The Romans used a golden figure of an eagle to stand for strength, skills, and bravery. The German emperors also chose the eagle. A double-headed eagle was the Imperial Russian and Austrian coats of arms. The United States took as its emblem a bald eagle with outspread wings. Actually, if you read about the bald eagle, you'll see what kind of a bird that is. When that bird spreads its wings, the spread is about 6 feet. And it is one of the cleanest, if not the cleanest, animal on earth. And let me make a few points about the eagle. First, the eagle is known for its great strength. A true believer in Christ is or should be strong in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, we read, "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you." The problem actually with most of us is that we feel that we as Christians must be weak and shy and look defeated. My wife was just mentioning to me the other day, or yesterday, I believe, that we as Christians, in the past, at least, we saw our parents and grandparents, and the church I went to was a very evangelical church, and people took everything seriously and accepted the word of God. And one thing I believe they had missed, and that was that they felt that a Christian should look sad and should not look good and should not look happy or smile. But actually, the Bible says the contrary. We must be full of joy, and we must have the joy of our salvation, because if we are the children of God, if we have been saved, if our sins have been forgiven, and now we have a brand new beginning, we must soar and fly away from things that will keep us down. A true Christian should never be weary, tired in doing good. Galatians 6:9, we read, getting or being tired is normal, physically speaking, but we must never give up doing good to others. A true believer is not a wimp or a weak person, but in the contrary, he or she must have all the spiritual strength that he or she needs. The eagle is not like a hummingbird. The hummingbird flaps its wings 70 times per second just to stay still and just to fight the gravity of this earth. That hummingbird has to flap its wings and flap for 70 times per second. On the other hand, an eagle never flaps. That eagle just flies away, soars away. The eagle is not a hummingbird. All flapping, the hummingbird does all that flapping just to counteract gravity. And I believe we Christians very often are just like hummingbirds. we can't soar. We cannot fly away from the difficulties and the problems we have. But like a hummingbird, we flop and flop and flop and just to stray, to stay afloat, as it were. That means that we are so stuck with the pull of this earth and our problems and our difficulties that we cannot disconnect and fly away. And you know, when a bird flops so many times, it gets tired and has to eat a lot and has to nourish and regain that strength. Where an eagle can stay without food for a while, and because does not get very tired flying, that eagle rides on the currents and the winds, the current that comes his way will be that power to make him soar all the way up. And then up there from 2 or 3 miles away, he can spot a little whatever animal and just comes down, picks that animal and soars back up to where it came from. We as Christians must look at the eagle and learn how to live. And the hummingbird may be a beautiful little bird and yet goes nowhere, just stays there staring at the flower and eating from the flower, and that's all it does. But the eagle is the king of the air. The eagle rises above the world. The eagle rises above our world, which is trapped and enveloped by gases, smoke, and all kinds of other pollutants. Now, the eagle will fly and go all the way up. And that reminded me above the problems and difficulties and the gases. And that reminded me when we fly. We are in the airport and it's so dark and it's raining and it looks cloudy. It's got to be cloudy, it's red. And it's so dark, and yet we start flying, the airplane starts flying and goes through the clouds, and all of a sudden you see the sun and you are the clouds and the rain are underneath you and you are above them. And I believe a Christian, like an eagle, should fly up and up until everything else, all the darkness and all the clouds and all the worries are underneath him or her. Now, for me, it's very easy to say all this. And it's easy for a pastor or a preacher or a teacher to teach all this. And yet, when the moment of truth comes, I have to face the same problems. I have to make the same decisions. And sometimes I am like a hummingbird, just flopping and flopping and flopping and trying to resolve a problem that cannot be resolved. And yet I've forgotten that God is there. And the winds are blowing and the currents are there for me to ride over those currents. And those winds and the currents are the Holy Spirit and His strength that are there for me to ride. And yet I am stuck, flapping my wings. Just as a butterfly does not return to its old way of existing as a worm, but flies from one beautiful flower to another, avoiding dirty and filthy things, should the Christian believer rise above the dirty and filthy things of this corrupt world system. And if a believer is swallowed by sin, he or she must deal with it by asking God to clean him and clean her. The butterfly is another good example that I use often. When you look at the butterfly, you say, what a beautiful creature. Some of them are so beautiful, so colorful, so clean, so sensitive, so fragile. And yet, when you start going back to its beginning, you'll see that was a worm. And that worm was crawling on on the earth, dirt if you wish, and had no way of flying or going anywhere other than just to crawl. And we, I believe, as human beings are like these worms, like the worm that eventually becomes a butterfly, and we can fly away and not ever crawl, but fly from one beautiful flower to another. And yet, many Christians never use their wings to fly away. They still crawl on the problems and the difficulties of this earth. Again, it's very easy to theorize. It is very easy for us to philosophize. It is very easy for us to preach about it, write about it, sing about it. And yet, when the pressure comes, we don't know what to do because we have forgotten that we are God's children. Because we forget that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Why? Because I believe very often the Holy Spirit is locked into a room, or Christ is pushed away in our daily life. And because we are so accustomed to dealing with our problems and difficulties on our own, and because we almost enjoy being depressed sometimes and feeling sorry for ourselves and belly aching and complaining, we don't even remember that we are the children of God. And the writer of this portion says, we will run and not get tired. We'll fly, we will soar up and up if we only listen. And if we only wait, the eagle goes, first of all, the eagle builds his nest on high ground, on the highest mountain or high mountain or on the highest building. And they build, read about the eagle. And you'll see that the eagle is a very interesting animal. First of all, they are faithful. They are very faithful to their partners. They only get married once. And they live with their partner forever. And then when they have children, they both take care of those children. They build a nest big enough for them. And sometimes that nest will be 20 feet deep and about 9 feet wide. And they will live there for the rest of their life. And when they have children, they will feed those children. First of all, they will feed them until they are able to fly. And now how do they fly? The eagles will push them, shake that nest and make those little birds fall to the emptiness, if you wish, toward the ground. And then the mother eagle and father eagle are there ready. If they see that that little baby eagle is not flying, is not flopping in the beginning to fly, they will just go underneath that bird and hold it. And they'll try again and again. Well, this is a good example of the family of an eagle. They get married once, they build their house, and they stay there forever. And they live a long time. And then they raise their children, and they have a sharp eye on that little baby. They don't let that baby decide what they wanted, what that little baby eagle wants to do, but they are there training that baby until that little eagle becomes an eagle and flies away. And then that baby eagle now is trained enough to be able to get married again, build a little nest or big nest, and train their children. That's how it was with the human race, or should be. And yet today, we have become like hummingbirds, just spending our life flapping and flapping and flapping just enough to eat enough and enjoy that flower for one. That hummingbird doesn't stay there forever, goes from one flower to another. And the human beings, we as Christians, often will go from one philosophy to another philosophy, from one doctrine to another doctrine, from one church to another church, And then we'll start flopping and talking and discussing all kinds of philosophies, rather than showing up closer and closer to God and enjoying the warmth and the presence and the life that God has given us. In Colossians 3:2, we read, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Often I hear Christians enjoying, or at least getting a kick or getting excited about little things. So-and-so sang this, and so-and-so is dressed well, and the way we dress sometimes, our aim is how to look good, how to feel good, how to sound good. And yet, when you go to bed at night, all that is gone, and you are about to lay your head on the pillow, and you feel alone. Even if your wife or husband or your children are next to you, you are alone. And unless you are connected with God, and unless your spirit is connected with God, you will not feel that joy, the assurance of being a child of God. And even if you have fallen in some areas, if you failed in something, God is there to forgive you, to cleanse you. You see, when the eagle comes down right into the river to pick a fish, that river may have dirty water, and that eagle will soil its wings for just a little second or two, and yet goes up. And because it's flying and soaring so high, and the warmth and the pure air will cleanse those wings. It's not like the ducks that stay all their life landed in water. Even though they fly, they don't fly as high. The true Christian walks on this earth, but his or her head is far above the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." The third point I want to make, the first was, the eagle is known for great strength. The second was, the eagle rises above the world. The third point this morning is that the eagle is known for longevity. The Christian whose name is written in the book of life will live forever. King David said in Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, there are some descriptions of the eagle that, and some background, or at least some numbers on the eagle that say 48 years to 50 years, but I read also that an eagle can live up to 100, 120 years. So it's not like a sparrow or a little butterfly as lives for a long time. How strong are you in the Lord, dear believer? How far have you come? How far-sighted are you? As I said, the eagle can see ahead 2-3 miles. Its peripheral vision is great, can see all around and can see far enough to spot a little animal, a little creature down there 2-3 miles away. how are we? How is our eyesight? Now, I'm farsighted. I can read the numbers and I can read the signs, and yet when I want to read here, I can't. I got to put these things on. Now, you may be just the opposite. You can read here, but you can't see far. Well, Christians are like that too. We are. Some can see far enough, and others can see close enough to find the truth. And yet we have the eagle that can see close enough, round it. Everything is seen and observed, and he can see far enough. A Christian should be a picture of an eagle. How high have you risen above the world and its corrupt system? Unfortunately, the corrupt system of the world, and when we talk about the world, I'm not talking about the people and the trees and the businesses, although the businesses may be corrupt, but I'm talking about the system itself, the world system that is corrupt. And that world system is not only the government, it's not only organizations, it's not only the police or whatever you want to look at, but it has come into the churches. It has come, that system has become part of the church, part of the individual Christian. And we sometimes don't know how to recognize a corruption because we've been so accustomed to be in a corrupt situation. Now, the eagle, they say, when it's free and is soaring up and is free to go anywhere and do anything, is clean, the purest animal. The cleanest, I should say. But when that eagle is trapped, captured, in captivity becomes one of the dirtiest animals, people have said, and that's what I read. Because it's clumsy, because it doesn't know how to do it any better. We sometimes have been practicing so often to be in corruption and dirt that we know how to do it, how to look clean and yet corrupt. But the eagle can't do it, it seems, because its nature is so clean, so pure. Your answer to these questions will help you determine what kind of a Christian you are. What are the questions? Why is it that we cannot fly, soar, far away? The answer to the question, how far-sighted am I? Maybe if your answer is, I wish I could be like an eagle spiritually, but I'm not strong enough, the Bible has something to say on that. Then please listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31. It says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That sounds good. And I want to practice that. I was trying to practice it all week. And yet, I didn't feel like an eagle. And then I realized that when I met people and even my family members, I said things and I felt lousy and And I remember the Apostle Paul. He said, you know what, I get up in the morning, believe it or not, and I pray. And I say, God, give me the strength. I'm now changing his statement. I want to be like an eagle, Lord. I want to fly away from my problems. I want to look at my wife, my husband, my children, the corruption, and say, wow, wait, I'm going to soar way out of here. And yet, Lord, at the end of the day, I look at myself and I haven't flown very far. I'm like a hummingbird just flapping there. Is anyone here that feels that way? And if you feel, don't put up your hand, please. because I don't want to see all the hands going up at once. But that's how it is. That's why we really need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul goes no further, saying, what a miserable person, what a wretched man I am. And yet he doesn't give up. He doesn't sit there. He says, the following day he just gets into the boat, they put him in the boat, and they want to send him to Rome. And then even there, while everyone is afraid that will die, he is happy. Apostle Peter was in prison and tied down or chained down, and he is singing. Well, you know what? It's like an eagle that is chained down and yet is trying to fly away. Peter wanted to get out of there by singing, and yet God heard his voice and freed him, and he was out. God will do the same, like he did with Apostle Peter. While we are chained down to that miserable situation that it seems that will never change, God can come and break those chains one by one. Actually, all he has to do is just break one of the links and we are free, but he breaks them all. The Bible says, those who hope in the Lord, believe and trust as their Lord and Savior, will be renewed and strengthened and soar on wings like eagles. I also know that when the eagle gets old or older, their feathers start getting old. You know what an eagle does? I'm not an expert on eagles, and yet I like to know what I'm saying. That eagle starts pulling out its feathers and starts bleeding. And that is the solution. Because that bird is pulling its feathers and is bleeding, the body now starts producing new feathers and becomes renewed. We sometimes have to bleed. Sometimes we have to go through pain to get a new set of wings, if you wish, not wings, but feathers. The question is, when do we stop flapping like a hummingbird, going nowhere, and start soaring on wings like eagles and experience the spiritual heights God will help us reach? I believe the answer is when we let go what we are holding on and look up to greater things God has prepared for us. In my line of business, and for the business who don't know me, I'm a businessman with my wife. We run a business, electronics. And sometimes I'll take something that is worth $5 and I'll be working on it for 2 or 3 hours. And my wife says, you're wasting your time. And throw it out. And since I don't want to throw it out, I'm challenged. I want to do it. I want to fix it. Well, that's how it is with us Christians sometimes. We hold on to an idea, to a philosophy, to a belief that is not even biblical at all and will lead us nowhere, doesn't strengthen our faith, doesn't help us how to live godly lives, and we are stuck on it, and we rehash the same question, or at least ask the same question, and we waste our time like a hummingbird. Let's fly away from those things and reach and get closer and closer to God. Yes, a trapped or chained eagle cannot fly away unless someone sets it free. And when I put that down, I thought, it is so true. You may chain an eagle down. That eagle will try to free itself and won't be able unless someone goes and breaks that chain and frees that eagle. And that's how it is with us. Someone may be chained to alcohol. Someone else may be chained to drugs. Someone else may be chained to immorality, someone else to gambling, someone else to infidelity, whatever that is. Someone else may be chained to religious activities. Someone else may be chained to doctrinal activities or churchianity. Well, you know what? The church doesn't save anyone. Jesus does. And unless someone comes and breaks those chains and lets the Spirit soar out closer to God, we will never find happiness and joy. And yes, unless a person is set free by Christ, that person will remain earthbound, a slave to the things that keep him or her bound. Jesus said in John 8:36, "If the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you'll be free indeed." If Jesus sets you free, you'll really be free as an eagle that whose chains have been broken down. It could be you are free now from that habit, from that addiction, from that philosophy, from that situation that kept you down and down and down, and you've been flapping your wings and flapping and going nowhere and getting tired, and you want to stop flapping and yet you can't because you're going to fall to the ground, and you wish someone, a wind or something will come and just make you soar out of that situation. Often we don't see those winds, we don't feel those winds and the currents, and yet they are there. I hope and pray that God will help us see the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, and let the Holy Spirit help us get closer and closer to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your pure words in the Bible. Lord, the Bible is your breath. These words in the Bible are your breath, and they are life, and this book is a life-giving book, not because it's written, not because it's there, but because you speak to us through it, the Bible. Touch each one of us this morning, Lord, and make us see and feel those currents of your Spirit around us, and help us to dedicate our lives completely to you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.